Hey, welcome to the Cooligans. Oh my God, what a wild day. 18 matches all at the same time in Champions League. We talk about how it all went and how it all ended.
We're also joined by Luis Miguel Echegaray of ESPN and now published author of Messi Mania. We talk about his upcoming book that will be available in March. We also do some rapid reactions, a lot of transfers, a lot going on in this window. So all this and more today on the Cooligans.
I'm looking for a restaurant for my aunt's birthday. I don't know if your family does this, but my aunt has spent her entire life eating Cuban food.
Okay.
Say, let's take you out for your birthday. What kind of restaurant you want to go to? I'm going to give you one guess and one guess only on what kind of food.
I'm assuming she's at Cuban food.
Well, is that you eat every day.
But that's so weird because like my mom's obviously Dominican, will, if she suggests going to get Dominican food, or if we suggest going to get Dominican food, she'd be like, I could have made this. Why are we here? Oh, no. Why are we wasting our money?
You still hear that. Every meal that comes out, every dish that comes out, my aunt's like, I will, as was better. Oh, I can make this better. Why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we celebrating your birthday?
Right.
And also, here's something I didn't realize. Just because a restaurant is in New Jersey, my family's in Newark. Mm-hmm. So let's take her to a nice place in Jersey. Bro, it is just as expensive as New York restaurants.
Okay.
What are we doing? Finally. Either New York restaurants are not charging enough.
Finally, Alexis bringing up Bidenflation. Bro. Let's go.
I don't know. I think it's ever since ICE has been running around patrolling, suddenly prices have gone up.
Iceflation. Let's go, bro.
Seriously, bro.
That's the problem.
Bro, we're turning this into a news show, bro. Are you safe? We'll be back right after these commercials.
Okay. You thought you come here to escape some of that. Nah, that's not how it works.
Bro, I'm not going to get political, but we need to make New Jersey restaurants cheap again. That's going to be my hat. Okay. It doesn't really flow off the tongue, but trust me, we're going to solve this problem. What are the drones doing if you're not lowering the prices?
We need
to get to the bottom of this.
Not only are the drones high up, so are the price of eggs.
Right? Am I right, everybody? All right, everyone. Welcome to Cooligans. This is a soccer show.
We got our sillies out of the way. Welcome.
Do not be sending me no cheap Spanish restaurants to go to where you get served in the aluminum tins.
Just you and all the construction worker pals.
Yeah. 17 containers in that one small plastic bag. How did they get it all in
there? Dude, I literally went to get lunch nearby here, our studio, and it was
Hold on. Christian eats.
I do eat from time to time. And I went to a Spanish restaurant. I saw it on Google or whatever. I get in there. It is literally a few like crock pots by a freight elevator in a building.
You went to the spot in the shipping.
In the shipping.
Yeah, it's a block away from us. That place is famous.
Yeah, dude. I went in there. I'm just
was it good?
It was. If I was working a 14-hour shift bricklaying,
hit the spot.
It would have hit the spot. Yeah. But I'm like, you know.
Not with your bougie taste.
I really work with my...
Look at my hands. They soft. I can't eat this oxtail.
No shade on it. Oh, you know, respect.
I ain't got no asbestos on my boots, dog. I can't be eating this bookie-ass rice.
Not really
rice.
For me, okay? Yeah. I left my hard hat in the studio.
Wait till my mom sees this.
So anyway, welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We got a lot of Champions League to talk about today because the Champions
Speaking
League
of champions. We got a guest today.
We do have a guest today. One of the pillars of the soccer community. Because we're going to be joined by now published author.
What?
Luis Miguel Echegaray, the homie.
All three of them are going to be here.
At ESPN. You still
Luis
ESPN,
Miguel
right?
Echegaray.
I don't even know what's going on. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the current CV.
What are we allowed to say? I don't know.
At ESPN. And we're going to talk about his new book, Messi Mania.
Oh, yeah.
In just a bit. So be on the lookout for that. So, but let's get right to it.
It's a book about your son, Mateo, eating. Am I right? It's messy, bro. It's everywhere, bro.
Damn, whoa. I mean, bro. We really needed that contribution.
Let's derail the show a little
the
more.
The show wouldn't have felt complete if it didn't have that one joke.
If you think it, you got to say it. If not, it becomes a fart.
But yes, Champions League group stage.
Here's what I'm going to ask you for a letter grade. No other words. Don't say nothing else. Just a letter grade or a number grade. Scale 1 to 10, just like you would grade a player. now that it's match day 8, we've seen it all from this league phase. We've had the ups, the downs, the drama, everything. What do you grade? And you can do decimal. What do you grade this new Champions League format?
8.3.
I go 8.9, 9.2 range.
Okay, so obviously we differ greatly. Wow.
I think it's at least a 9. I'm going to call it a 9.
We've been talking about this throughout the...
Yeah, but what doesn't get you to a 10? What's missing to make it a 10?
What's missing for me is I did enjoy the back and forth of the teams playing each other home at home.
Home and away.
Home and away. I'm just saying, but one team at home, the other home. I appreciated the strategy around it. Who are they going to play? Who did they play last time? Did this person get injured? I enjoyed that chess match a little bit, but the madness and the unpredictability, I think, showed we talked about this before, just like, why is Manchester City finishing in 24th? What spot did they end up in?
No, they finished above it, right? 22nd.
22nd. It says, some teams were better at adapting to the unpredictability of who they were going to play, what the conditions that they were playing in. I think maybe Manchester City is an example of just like the teams that just possess the ball and want to play this beautiful football. It's like Champions League. Nah, that's not what we're doing here.
You need to run, my guy.
You need Jonathan David out there just going.
Shouts to CONCACAF players.
Trying to, be in the right position and get some goals and stuff like that. So I think the...
Can I give you a little hot take of why I think I like it so much?
No, thank you. Let's keep it moving.
All right, never mind. Here's my hot take. Champions League with this new format is a bit more American.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Major League Soccer made that Soccer.
It's actually just American sports. No balanced schedule. NFL's like, forget home and away.
Yeah.
You play whoever we tell you to play. And that's kind of how this felt.
Sure. Yeah. There is a strong American sports inspiration, which is what, I mean, which is...
And now there's a playoff? This is American, bro.
It was interesting hearing on the broadcast, just
and
like...
Basically, this is a wild card game. It's basically a wild card game. This is an American sports format.
I loved hearing just everybody on the broadcast, whether they were interviewing players and post-match interviews, they were just like, you excited to make it to the playoffs?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we love the playoff and all the different accents.
I've never won shit anything about a playoffs, fam. I've loved it since day one.
I'm like, oh.
I'm an Aston Villa fan.
This sounds...
There's a reason why I threw that team under the bus.
This sounds like home.
Yeah.
Hearing them say that. So,
but they put the hyphen in there. Bro, it's just one word. I need some playoffs. Playoffs.
Right. Are they going to put you in there somewhere? Yeah. You know, British people will be putting you's and words that don't need it.
What, favorite? How do you get in there?
What?
Aluminium.
What are you doing here? Overall, I think notable results that are just like really fun that I don't think, they probably don't happen. AC Milan beating Liverpool, beating Real Madrid. Madrid being in the position that they're in, right?
AC Milan scored against Liverpool. They didn't beat them.
They beat them. Right? They did not beat them. No. Oh, they beat Madrid.
Liverpool only lost once, which was against PSV.
They beat
a bunch of Americans.
They beat Madrid. Who's the other team? The other big team?
Yeah, they beat Madrid and was it Sporting Club? They beat somebody else.
So, but these results, I think, just offer something that the other format I don't think would have offered. The
excitement was ratcheted up a bit. It felt like after two match days, you already kind of knew how the group was gonna come out. For most of the last format,
the last format, yeah,
you don't know what's going on. Think about it. Going into the last day, only two teams were sure to qualify for everything.
Sure.
For at least to stay in their bracket area, if you will. That's excitement to me. Look at PSG. PSG going all the way from flirting with relegation to being one of the seeded teams in the playoff bracket.
Right.
That's
right.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was.
And by the way, they only needed a draw with Stuttgart. Stuttgart's like, we're going to take it easy, right? Because we only need a draw. Y'all only need a draw. And PSG was like, oh, yeah, we didn't get that memo.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to body you.
Dembele gets his first hat trick, I believe, in Champions League. Overall, it's even having the final day I think this is really the best move and the master move behind, you know, because this was originally going to be Super League, right? That's what they were really trying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the compromise.
It goes to show Super League would have been kind of weird. I ain't going to lie to you.
Okay. This show, from day one, we've all been pro Super League. You know that.
Pro Super League.
No, it's been the.
An Al Nassr shirt just floats down.
For everything to be on that final day, all the games at the same exact time, what was it, 18 matches or something like
18
that?
18 matches, always.
It was appointment television, and we don't really get that often in almost any other aspect of entertainment because everything is right. Like on demand.
The majority of the world was watching one thing all at the same time. That doesn't always happen.
I mean, I also feel bad if you were watching one game instead. Like
you
almost,
missed out.
If you like went and saw a game, even if you saw a 5-0, 6 or whatever, like the Lille game or something, like that, you still missed 17 other
unless you're like
match.
A massive PSG fan. But if you're just a casual fan and you went to a game, you should have been at a pub with a lot of TVs.
This felt like a little bit of a. It's better to be home or watching this on TV
again. American, right? I got HD at home. I need to go to the game. You know what I felt bad for? Nico. The amount of research this man had to do.
Nico Cantor.
And there were so many goals, he couldn't get to 90% of the research. This man prepped for like solid 8 days and could use barely any of it. He was just like, oh, did you know? Never mind, there's a goal happening in Slovan Bratislava. That's way more exciting than this thing I just looked up.
It also started off incredibly insane. There were goals. The first goal was in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then there were something like 10 goals in the first 15.
There's usually some chatting on the Golazo show. There was nothing.
No, a little banter. Just a little, like,
no time.
Getting to know everybody. No.
Even the break dancer was like, yo, this is crazy. I don't even know why I'm here.
What is sports television become?
Look, I'm all for, we're a pro mayhem show.
I can't believe we didn't think about bringing a breakdancer on.
You guys got to think some of this through, though. What's it going to look like on air?
The outfits that Jamie and Micah were wearing?
Who picked that, bro?
I don't know.
What 75-year-old former Bronx native?
There are literal, we're stand-up comics. We are literal clowns, but we know plenty of clowns.
On purpose.
We know plenty of clowns that'd be like, I ain't wearing that. I wouldn't be caught dead in that.
You know how many times Morning Footy tried to get me in some clown-ass outfit? And I was like, I'm not doing it. It'll be funny to you. And that's it.
Looking like a 1982 LL Cool J.
Bro.
Why are they dressed like
that? Jamie looking like a narc cop in a 1999 film. Doesn't know how to dress for the generation.
100%. It's like when you know when you're on the subway and you're just like, that's a cop. You know who's a cop.
Yeah. Oh, what stop are you getting off at? Is it to buy crack by any chance? You're like, no.
Oh, puffer vest with a Yankee cap? I know you a cop.
And your Jordan 1's tied all the way to the top. All the way to the top? I didn't even know the lace went through them holes, bro.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, a couple moments that we have to make sure to highlight. Obviously, there were a bunch of Americans.
Shouts to the Americans doing things.
That did really well. A couple big.
Can I just remind you of something? Weston McKennie in the summer was told, hey, why don't you go find yourself a new club? We don't need you for the second year in a row. And last night or yesterday, when he steps on a pitch for Juventus, what was he wearing around his arm, Christian?
Captain's armband. Captain Weston McKennie.
Wow. Like, Captain McKennie.
I believe his father was in the military. And
Armed
was,
Force, yeah. We don't know.
I don't know what military wing, but I think he was also he might have made it to captain. So he might have two Captain McKennies in the family. Yeah. Maybe lieutenant. whatever.
Damn.
Maybe, I mean, Weston.
Sergeant Weston.
Sergeant Admiral Weston McKennie.
Yo, five-star General McKennie, bro.
No, that was great to see. Obviously, Juve didn't get a victory in the in the game. They ended up losing 2-0.
But so boring.
You know what was interesting, though? Watching that game, and I'm watching on Golasso, and the body language, especially I saw Tim Weah. I believe he started in the game, right? Did he? I don't know. I remember seeing him, but the anger and frustration that he had when the goals were given up,
it was
the right body language for a team that conceded. You know what I mean? It's not going to affect our Champions League run, and we're still obviously
much like you yelled when you went and got Spanish food. I'm too good for this.
No, not that arrogant.
Not arrogant. Yeah. The team is too good.
There was something about it. You know, it wasn't there wasn't any apathy around it. It was just like actual frustration. Like, we should be better than this. And, you know, it came up on the broadcast a lot, but Thiago Motta, the manager for Juve.
He's hot.
Yeah, which is, you know.
Crazy.
He got the job because everyone's like, oh, he did so well at Bologna.
Exciting brand of football coming.
This is going to be great. And it's just like the same exact problems.
It was like, nah, I left that in Bologna, bro. Shouts to, I want to give credit to Pepe, man. Ricardo Pepe.
PSV had a fantastic game against Liverpool.
Bro, you put him in the game, he's like, I'm going to show you need to start me. And he does that every time, and yet you don't start him. But he gets, I think he has the highest number of goal contributions per 90 of players who've played 500 minutes or more. The only person who has more than him actually is Patrick Schick, so he has the second most.
Yeah.
That's an incredible stat for a guy.
How many minutes does he actually, it's probably like 502.
To whatever he qualifies. Hey, you got in just in time. To me, that just goes to show the quality and how consistent he is. And there was a bid that came in for him from West Ham.
I did see that.
And that was denied by PSV, which gives me the idea that, like, all right, De Jong is now starting to get a little bit older. Maybe he's not in the plans to be the starter next season, or at least not the full-time starter. And it's going to be more of a split time with Pepe and him. And that, to me, gives me a lot of pride and a lot of happiness, because Ricardo Pepe has proven time and time again he deserves to be a starter somewhere. So if PSV is not going to do it, and I'm fine with a slow bleed, you know what I mean? Like, let him get his moments. Let him get time. Like, don't rush it. I'm fine with that. But if not, hey, let him go to the Premier League. Let him go somewhere else where somebody wants him, where he can start, because the World Cup is coming, y'all.
It's so wild how he went to Augsburg, right? He left FC Dallas.
Trash.
And it was just so bad. And I even went being like, oh, man, he can't even get minutes at Augsburg. Like,
but he also wasn't getting service. That team was in dire straits.
Sure. I'm glad he didn't stick around. You know, sometimes they say, like, fight for your spot. Yeah, fight for those minutes. Nah, he's like, nah, bro. I see what I'm working with. Let me find another.
You got to leave your toxic ex, bro. You got to leave him. But then he went to Groningen and he balled out.
Yeah. I did love the assist. I mean, he got a goal, God. Which, you know, whatever.
The back heel, bro.
Not the back heel. The shoulder.
Oh, the shoulder.
The
my
shoulder
bad.
Assist.
I'm thinking Gio Reyna also balled
has
out.
A center back. Pin to him and gives the you don't really
shimmy.
See these. You see these in those like Brazilian techer videos on the beach.
Yeah.
You know how they do that?
Yeah.
They always find a body part that you don't actually use in a game.
Or in the videos. You know, they'd be hitting this joint.
It's always like an 8-year-old girl that just knows they're born with it, right?
Or some lady in heels on the beach drinking a guy, but you know, like, do all of you just know how to play ball like
why
this?
Are you walking so comfortably in heels on sand?
Damn, I'm uncomfortable for you, ma. And bunions is killing.
but that was, I mean, and the goal, Bakayoko, I think, is. He sat Andy Robertson and I believe it was Kwanzaa.
He hit the cutback and two players just slip past.
This happens a couple times. This happened in a US 17 match, I think, a couple two, 3 years ago. I don't remember. I think
it was an NWSL final, was it, or just before?
Oh, recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Marta was like, swoop.
But this was, I mean, Robertson and Kwanzaa, it was like synchronized diving.
You know what I mean?
Like, it was perfect. They were perfect. They did that slide tackle.
In slow-mo, looks crazy.
It looked amazing. No, it was great to see. And the finish was crazy,
Christian
too.
Christian Pulisic also scored a wonder goal down a man, which is incredible.
A wonder goal.
Come on. It was down a man. You got to add that extra sauce on it.
It was probably the keeper should have done a little bit better.
Hey, whoa. That keeper's not American. We don't dictate the way the keeper goes.
All you can do is shoot the ball. Okay? It's not up to you where the keeper is.
I thought it was a good goal to score and you know, in that position. I think Milan also had a penalty that was taken back.
Yeah.
VAR.
Rafa Leão, right? Because he popped the dude.
I mean, through
the popped homie with the elbow. Yunus Musa obviously got a red card. Two yellows, I should say. Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the I didn't see the challenge from the first one, but the second one was like, he has no argument to make at all. He's literally pulling at the dude by his waist.
I think he pushes.
No, he gets it's pass interference. You know what I mean? Like he got in the way.
No. The second one was he kind of tugs the guy, and the guy falls. As soon as he touches the guy collapses.
Yeah, but
a little bit much.
He pulled him.
It was a little bit much.
That was a valid second yellow. But again, the frustration here for Milan is that they would have been in the round of 16 immediately if they had gotten. I think even if they drew in this game, it would have been pretty close.
Conte was like, it doesn't matter if you bring in great players. You could have all the best players in the world. If they don't have like the oomph to do it, then it doesn't matter. I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of calling out. First, you fought your players last week, and now you're calling them out.
Took a little bit. Yunus Musa was just on a roll of just getting starts, getting a lot of minutes, you know, getting important key plays in games.
He's becoming essential, which is what kind of we wanted to see. A little bit
stifling to get this yellow in time because obviously he's going to miss the first game of whoever they play. And then Gio Reyna. Had a back heel assist. He subbed into the game and gets an assist there. Again, there's a couple more days left in the transfer window. Niko Kovac will be the coach.
Yeah, the new coach.
All the reports are saying. Kovac was the coach for Bayern Munich when we went to.
And they lost 5-1 to Eintracht Frankfurt. And then he gets fired
while we're there. So
and
who
then
knows?
The eagle almost attacked you. And I said I'd fight the eagle. And then I had to apologize to the eagle. So, I had to write an apology email to an eagle.
So
for those of you who are new here.
So that's just, we're just catching you up.
We're just giving you the full rundown.
Our German escapades.
Why does it sound like we went on a honeymoon to Germany?
So, look, overall, Champions League, the group stage, the league phase. I guess it's not really called group stage anymore.
No, it's league phase.
League phase. Entertaining, fun, offered moments that the group stage did not offer. And you kind of want to see more of this, I think, in the future. And we'll see how the next rounds are going to be what we're used to, the knockout round. So there shouldn't be as much shock or surprise, or at least for Manchester City, who luckily, and you know, they made it and they qualified for the next round.
It got sticky in the first half.
But who are they going to be facing?
Either Real Madrid
or I believe Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich.
So, I mean,
if you're Real Madrid, I know Carlo Ancelotti said at the end of the game, he's like, I don't want to play City. I don't like playing City. But he didn't mean it like, I'm afraid to play City. He's just like, yo, we do this every year, dog.
There's something with that,
man. It's like, yo, Fast and the Furious 8. How many times y'all going to jump this damn bridge, bro? Here's what I think. Now is the time you want to play City, bro. They're struggling.
I mean, Real Madrid also kind of, they slip up from time to time. They're not doing that great.
Real Madrid aren't first in La Liga.
They aren't, or they are.
Are
they? They just make it.
They're balling right now. I think they're 4 points ahead.
Atletico.
All I'm saying is, if Mateus Nunez is starting at right back, bro, you winning. Don't worry about it.
All right,
you winning.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll chat a little.
You want to talk to an author?
To a Peruvian author.
Peruvian author.
Okay.
It's not like we got one of them guys on the subway who plays the world. Like, you ever write a book? Get up here.
Are we going to talk a little bit about his new book and Messi? So we're going to chat with Luis Miguel Echegaray in just a bit, right after this. We're absolutely thrilled to be joined by a dear friend who here's a little interesting tidbit. The last time this guest did our show was the final show before lockdown
and COVID.
That's
lockdown
right.
This is why I'm really scared of being here. Because the last time next? All of us were together, the world exploded that's with right. COVID. Yeah. So guess what? Bird flu everywhere.
So we don't know.
Foot and mouth disease coming to a city near you.
Brought to you by three Latinos.
Jeez.
Okay. Yo, by the way, the new Bad Bunny album, Nueva Yo, that first song, you need that theme song. Culiga.
Oh my God.
Si te quiere divertir. I love that.
We need Hector Lavoe.
I love this.
After doing a line.
We haven't even said his name, but the energy is incredibly high. Absolutely.
Say all three of this man's name.
Absolutely thrilled to be joined by Luis Miguel Echegaray of ESPN and now published author of Messi Mania, which you can get coming out March 4th in the U.S. and the U.K.
Yeah, see, Alexis, Peruvians can write, man.
This is beautiful.
Yes, Alexis was saying some really terrible things about Peruvian literacy beforehand.
Right, that's how we booked you. I was like, I need you to prove to me.
No, send them a voice, though, because you know he can't read the text.
Exactly. We have to do it by flutes. That's why we always do it.
You know I'm talking about them dudes on the subway. And you're like, ain't nobody ever heard of
this. I know, but like, you think that that's the only Peruvian. You're like, do you have a Peruvian? It's this guy living with a butcher.
My favorite part about it is like, what kind of music is this? World music? Oh, you just music for the world?
Yeah. It's like, oh, we got a Cuban on TV. Or it's got to be Al Pacino, Scarface, bro, right?
A fat Cuban talking about soccer. Did you ever think we'd get to this point
bro,
as a nation?
This is what I love. Three Latinos right here taking over. I'm so proud of you two, by the way. 10-year anniversary, right?
Okay. Coming up.
See, anybody can just do a show. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Are.
No, but you
sometimes
guys are a testament,
the don'ts
bro.
Become the dudes.
I know, seriously. I mean, I don't want to get too political, but we are a nightmare for so many people, and I love it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
congrats
yeah.
on that, by the way. And that's a gift to you, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, the book. Okay, yeah. No.
Just one. I'm Peruvian, after all.
Let's get
Sherry.
Let's talk about the book. Yeah, Messi Mania. Obviously, this, the last 2 years and having Lionel Messi in Major League Soccer, just in American soccer, I can imagine, clearly the inspiration is there because a lot of people are not only going to be introduced to him, but introduced to him in a different way. And you chose to capture that and tell that story. So let's talk a little bit about the inspiration for the book and why you want to write it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I mean, you said it right there, right, Chris? I mean, Messi in Miami, in the U.S., that summer 2023, would it happen just like, U.S. culture, sports culture, whatever it was, like exploded, right? Everybody was just paying attention to what was going on. This book is about his arrival to Miami, but it's also about his life story. And it's really written for young adults, for teenagers, because I really feel that, my wife's a public school teacher, and she always tells me that one of the hardest things right now, as has always been the case, to help boys out just read and maintain reading. And there's not enough like stories about sports athletes and heroes. And I think Messi arriving to America, and his whole story, because it's really such an underdog story, right? Yeah. Growth hormones. He immigrated to Europe when he was 13 years old. He's an introvert. Like many people thought that he was just the weirdest kid ever. So he had very difficult times socializing. I wanted to create that as a story for young people and say, especially immigrant kids, and say to them, it doesn't matter like what obstacles in front of you. Just go out there and do your thing. You can do it. And I think Messi's arrival to the U.S. is a perfect example.
I didn't know this about your wife, that she's a public school teacher trying to teach boys to read. Let her know. We don't need it.
Peruvians don't need it. That's for damn sure.
You can make it real far without reading a whole bunch of stuff.
Not a day in my life.
First of all, get a Netflix account and you're good.
Bro. You see it. You don't got to read it.
Just all you got to do is search on YouTube, bro. Red pill content, and you're good.
And that's how we lost Christian.
And we replaced him with AI. Yeah. Right?
I'm curious about this if you, because this is my sort of thought on Messi, and you even writing this book and targeted at young adults and sort of he is a hero to a lot of people, but he is a hero in a different way. Yeah, he's not, like you said, introverted, not very vocal, doesn't really speak out about a lot of things.
You don't know a lot of his personality or opinions.
Yeah,
it's all just what he does on the pitch.
Doesn't speak English, chooses not to. Yes. I mean, he purposely does it.
And I've heard, a friend of the show, Julian Gressel, his teammate at Inter Miami, says that he actually does speak English on the pitch and at a decent level, even to the...
When he trusts people, that's when he does it. But he will never do it publicly.
Yeah, he said...
Like, he'll go to all over the world with, events or whatever,
And they'll be like, you know, whether it's in France or whatever, and say, Leo, a few words in our language. And he'll literally just be like, nah. No.
I love that he's holding on to the Maldives.
He just refuses to.
But what could you say or speak to about that level of heroism and inspiration that he offers when he is not very vocal? Like, what is it about him that we all sort of connect with?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think it actually begins right there. I think it's the fact that he is an introvert. And he really chooses very wisely throughout his career and in life to be very specific about who he talks to, how he like portrays himself publicly. There's a part in the book that I talk about his childhood when he was growing up in Rosario, Argentina. One of his very best friends is this girl like who like, you know, was in every class with him growing up or whatever. If Messi wanted to ask a question to the teacher, he would whisper it to his friend and she would ask for him. Like, that's how much of a, you know, quiet, introverted person he was growing up. And that kind of never left him. And I think to answer your question, he's won the World Cup. And, you know, shout out here. I interviewed him one-on-one.
Hey.
Just saying. Okay. All right. You got to big it up right there. But all right. The reason why I bring it up is because when he entered the room, he acts like he's not Lionel Messi.
Sure.
Like, he literally is just this humble person. And the first thing he asked me was just like, how's it going? How are you? I told him, I'm a lifelong Villa fan, by the way. And he was like, I say hello to Dibu and stuff. You know, he's not really demanding attention in the way that we think he demands it. I think it's different when he's like in the training pitch and when he's people that he trusts. And obviously when he's playing, something completely different changes. He just wants to win.
I think that's the case for most footballers, right? They have a different personality versus in public.
Yeah.
But the thing about Messi that's so mysterious is like, we don't get that second one. We don't get a personality in public. He takes pictures with his wife. It's
and
just
I think
a big
that's
smile.
The attraction. Yeah, the fact that you just like, everybody's like, I want more. Yeah, right? And he'll give you just a little bit.
So he's not going to start a YouTube channel like Cristiano Ronaldo. No. Is that what you're saying?
That would be amazing. Like, can you imagine that? Yeah.
It's just him whispering to someone. They're like, comment, like, subscribe.
Exactly. He'll be like, join us next week.
It is really remarkable. I mean, like, and we've gotten the chance to see him play a few times. The first time, the first time we saw him play, at least the first time you didn't see him play before when we went to Paris, right?
No, PSG debut.
We
saw his PSG debut and him getting like subbed off in like the 70th minute. And it was like, Mauricio Pochettino was the manager. And even in that moment, it was just like, all right, he does not want to be off the pitch right now. He can still play. We saw him in Charlotte when Inter Miami played Charlotte FC, and we were kind of right on the pitch. He kind of walked by us, and even for me, I mean, you know, we've been covering this game for these 10 years that we've been doing this, and Messi. I'm not necessarily starstruck around Messi, but what affects me is how starstruck everyone else is.
Right.
People who aren't typically soccer fans.
Yeah.
No.
It's children, everybody. The effect is so remarkable. I mean, I've interviewed so many players. I mean, like, it's sort of lost on me the fame around the players. But the effect, the impact is just... It's like, it makes everyone sort of like delusional.
And I think it begins because he's never wanted it. Like, not the spotlight. He just wanted to play and be the kid that just does things. And you see it over and over again throughout his career. And when he first moved to Barcelona with his dad to do the trials at La Masia, he was in the same time when Piqué was there and Fabregas. And both of them recall saying, I thought this was a kid with needs that was just here.
Sure.
Like, we didn't know what this kid was about. He was so introverted in his corner, just sitting there, whatever. Granted, it's difficult because, you know, you're an Argentinian kid coming to Barcelona to do a trial. But the moment you're on the pitch, you do your thing. That kid has never left him. He's always been like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think it always just comes back to the fact that we want more and he'll never give you more.
How did he manage to live so much of his life in Spain and not pick up a Spanish accent?
That's on purpose.
Yeah.
That's so incredible.
He is so proud of being Argentinian.
I also think because he left and he had so many comparisons to Maradona that he felt like, I need to remain as Argentinian
as possible. I need to do
something.
Yeah,
because they're going to say, I haven't been here since I was 13. Yeah. If he pulled up, he's like, it's good. And they'll be like, no.
I'm not talking.
Yeah, no.
With their mate or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't even. It's disgusting.
I'm a fan of Monty.
No, you have to be, bro, because you're surrounded by people that drink it all the time.
Not as much.
No, you're coming back to me.
No. Yeah.
Peruvians hate that stuff. We have mate de coca, which is a different thing, and then you need it for matcha.
But
I don't like it's so gross, bro. I don't care how many. Like, this is where Messi and I will differ, unfortunately. Yeah, right. But anyway, to your point.
Yeah, that's the only difference between the two of you.
Yeah. We're extremely.
Yeah, the list ends there, dude. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Let's just start with personality. You've never been the quiet type. Let's just end there.
Unfortunately, that is true.
Yeah. I want to ask about his time coming to Miami. Because there was a conversation. There was a big conversation. Right around the time, remember there was like rumors, will he not? City was possibly going to sign him. And then he releases the video, like a selfie video of him saying, I'm coming to Miami.
Yeah.
Then starts the conversation. Can Messi Mania, to reference the book's title, can that actual Messi Mania be duplicated in the U.S.? Does the U.S. care enough about him? And then he goes to Publix. And the world is like, eat cereal. We need to follow him everywhere he goes. And there's like security has to show up to the supermarket to get him out of there. That, I think, might have been a bit of a rude awakening for him that like, oh, I thought maybe there was a bit of him that thought you go to the States and you kind of maybe don't have to deal with the craziness.
Yeah.
Nah, fam.
Well, he did the most Florida thing. Like, he did three Florida things in the space of a week. He like ran through a red light. He went to Publix, right? And obviously, he went to the beach every now and then. Well, the Publix thing, like, obviously, that was a completely, you know, fabricated type of event. I know that it seemed very, like, unique and spontaneous, but, like, Messi knew damn well what was going to happen if he went with Antonella to, you know, get some bread and chasing Matteo down aisle three.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing.
I wonder if Antonella did what my mother would do, which is like threaten white kids running around that she's going to beat them too. That's what my mother did. When like, we don't hit the whites, mom. Well,
she definitely would have been going to a restaurant in New Jersey. That's
Don't do it.
I'm with you. But to answer your question is this. Miami in itself, South Florida, is extremely obviously Latin American, but it's very Argentinian American.
Which is new.
Which is a very new concept.
You go back a decade, that's not
100%
the case.
100%. It was more Haitian, Cuban, of course. But Argentinian Americans, there's a massive, massive community there. So he knew exactly that when Beckham and Jorge Mas were selling in the project, that's part of it. And the first question I asked him was like, I've never seen you happier, honestly. Like, Barcelona, but you're so happy. And he's like, because my family's happy. And they felt finally after the nightmare that was PSG that he could go to a place and he could just feel very Argentinian. And that's exactly his life right now. It's the closest he will be to Rosario, to being with Argentina in Miami. And I think that's going to be a massive factor this season, after this season, and so much for us after that, you know, with the World Cup and everything.
Right. He did say just like a day or two ago that he was asked like, where does he want to live and where does he want to stay after his career?
He said Barcelona,
yeah, which is
where his kids were born. Like, you know.
Yeah. It's
that is interesting.
It is because I also think of it as, you know, comparing, you know, Messi kind of to like the economic impact that like LeBron, when he left Ohio, it was like literally money taken out of the GDP out of Ohio.
Yeah. I was in Ohio.
Yeah. One restaurant in Youngstown. Yeah. Oh my God.
Youngstown. Don't go to a restaurant in Youngstown.
If you're Peruvian in Youngstown, I apologize. Yeah, yeah.
There's no restaurants in Youngstown. It's just boxing rings that also serve food. Youngstown's a rough place. But
that
was
a business idea.
I was in Ohio and we went to like the one rooftop bar that some of the players go to. Like that was
Cleveland?
Della Donna. I was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And the Della Donna. Remember him? He was on the team. He was there hanging out. It's like, oh, this is where all the players go because it's like the only nice rooftop.
Sure.
And somebody was like, she was talking. I was like, oh, you don't sound like you're from Cleveland. She's like, I was born and raised here, but I moved to LA to start my media career. But I'm back because LeBron's back. Like he brought people.
You're following.
It was. I don't know if that's gonna happen.
You're
the same
doing
with
the follow. No, well, I mean the thing is, well, Miami in itself, as you mentioned, like obviously Messi getting there, just fuel to the fire, right? But it is so quintessentially Latin American that. With him, without him, like, it's still going to be Miami. The very important thing for Inter Miami is, and this is the one thing when I was talking to Inter Miami fans just as he was arriving, it's like, we're so excited about Messi. Obviously, it's going to be incredible. But we need to remember that we're a club after he leaves.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very important to remain that relationship with Argentinian Americans. So, and not just them, but just like
right,
overall.
But Messi, part of him signing with Inter Miami was, I forgot what the percentage is, but he's going to be a part owner of the team. And Beckham also said he had comments. He's like, I want him to stay.
Yeah.
But and it's wanting him to stay out of like, Having Messi around. Yeah, yeah.
I just want him to hang out.
Will be good for business. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Also, what are you going to say? I don't care if he stays. Yeah, yeah. You have to say
it. He knows that Barcelona is, you know, a very special place in his heart, Barcelona. And there's no doubt in my mind that I think that eventually he does want to go back and live there. But I think that it all really depends on Antonella.
Like, little happy honestly. Wife, happy life exactly. Type of situation. Yeah. I wonder,
he's normal, just like us.
I wonder if after he retires, if he's sort of going to change in some way. Maybe he will be more vocal. Maybe he will do more ads where he's like speaking and things like that. I wonder what direction his life kind of goes
in. I just don't want him to be a manager.
Right.
You don't think he has it?
It's not that I don't think he has it. It's just there's no outcome that's good after everything that he's done as a player.
Right.
Because as a manager, well, first of all, you can go either one or two ways. Thierry Henry, when he was a manager and when he was here at MLS, you know, he was so frustrated with some players because it's like, hello, we can't do what you used to do, bro.
You're not surrounded by 10 Henrys.
I don't think Messi's going to be like that.
Also, when Maradona was manager.
That's where I was going. Also because his Maradona-esque personality was positive in one way, but it was also negative in others.
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, as a manager, you're not going to win every game. There's going to be criticism at some point. Just leave that behind. And I don't think he would do it. But I'm with you because I'm very interested to see what kind of person he's going to be after he retires.
I wonder if he completely disappears from the public spotlight. It feels like the move for him. But I also feel like one of his kids will maybe go pro.
Yeah, one do you think?
I don't know because I don't really know his kids
Mateo
like that.
Mateo's the one idea? That's like the best one right now. I mean, we see all the highlights.
He's the one that plays after matches.
The Inter Miami Academy.
Diego is he's very chill, Mateo's insane. He's just a crazy kid and he has that garra that wants to. So I agree with you.
I could see that.
But that kind of pressure on those kids, like, just do your thing, but whatever.
Well, go Cucitini. Take the Cucitini name. Don't go Messi. To see Messi in the, you know, in a suite just staring at his kid play, that'd be kind of cool.
Sure, because it would be. I can't imagine, like, I'm thinking of, like, the Ruben Amorim and Marcus Rashford beef, like, you can beef with Messi if he was the man. Like, it would be...
Yeah, you keep your mouth shut if he says something. Well, but the other thing that I was going to say is that we have to also remember that, and it's to your point about, you know, that he has part ownership as well, and obviously the Adidas deal and stuff. Messi has an empire beyond this as well, right? In terms of, you know, what he wants to create. You know, there's already a film production company that, you know, that you know, the Messi brand will go way beyond after he retires. He's just going to have to be very specific about how he wants to handle it. And if he goes to Barcelona, that's another thing. But in America, in Miami, David Beckham's right. Like, he wants him to stay because he knows how powerful that empire can be for the future as well. Hence, you know, the energy that so many young kids, you know, have to work. I mean, it's amazing, man. Like, I mean, we all remember that 2023 Leagues Cup run. But, like, literally, like, I have so many stories of so many kids all over who never really picked up a soccer ball. And now they're just all about Messi. Sure. And they're getting into MLS and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that Messi should only just be the way that attracts, but it is just adding more fuel to the fire. And the World Cup in 2026.
Well, you've been around the sport long enough. What do you think it's going to take for MLS where they don't need a Messi? It's good to have a Messi, but you don't need a Messi to draw the eyes.
I've always said that you need three things for MLS to not just be successful, but to really continue to. And this is a real pivotal time for Major League Soccer because one of the questions that you're asking, but two, because the World Cup's coming. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not directly related with the league, it's an important part of understanding what MLS is going to be. MLS to me needs three things. It's always needed three things. Number one, it needs to cultivate a good relationship with the communities that they have, including the academy. So NYCFC, when it goes to Queens, like, build a really good relationship there, build that talent. LAFC with the Mexican-American community in LA. Inter Miami and you know, the Latinos that, and the Afro-Latinos that live there in Miami. You need to, that's one. Number two, you need to make sure that you become a transactional league where you're not just buying players, right? You're not just getting Messi, you're not just getting, but you are now a place where Europe's looking, going, oh, mm-hmm. Oh, Miguel Almirón, who's now back at it. That's a good example.
John Duran.
Alfonso Davies. John Javier Duran is another one, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, Pepe, like, oh, you need that. You need to be a transactional league.
Sure.
And then the third thing I think that's really important is to continue to bring the Messis and stuff. Like, I think not bringing James Rodriguez here was such a mistake.
It's so
man.
Frustrating,
Because I'm telling you, he would have, like, Orlando, even NYCFC, I feel like.
Bro, Columbia's would have got nuts in Queens.
Roosevelt Avenue would have been locked
Jackson
down.
Heights would have been the place to be.
Queens would have been so lit, been especially bumping, with the stadium coming.
Oh, and that stadium's going to be beautiful. Yeah, so I think those are the three things that MLS needs. And it is doing that. So it just needs to continue to do that in order to grow.
The other thing I want to ask, not to bring the mood down too much, but you haven't been on the, it's been a long time since you've been on the show.
Remind me. Last time we were here.
Yeah. We broke
what
the
a
internet.
Great episode. COVID-19. Yeah.
But, all right, wash your hands, Luis.
Sadly, during that time, since you were last on, we lost our dear friend Grant Wall.
Yeah.
And Grant, obviously lost him at the World Cup before Argentina won. I'm just curious how much were you thinking about Grant while writing this book? Because he obviously had a deep, fond love of Argentina. He called it like his second home. And it obviously getting to see Argentina lift the World Cup without Grant getting to see that obviously affected me and affected us. Yeah. But I'm curious how that affected you in writing this book.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking, man. I mean, you know, obviously both of you knew him well as well. Grant Wall was a mentor of mine. Obviously, he helped me so much. Planet Football TV is where I literally started in terms of, being on the screen, and he taught me how to be a sports writer and a soccer writer. I think he's all over this book. I said it, said our goodbyes at the event in the city to, mm-hmm. Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
When Argentina won the World Cup,
it's like they did it for him.
It was for him in a really weird way. And the way that I write is the thing that made Grant, so many wonderful things, but the thing that made Grant was so amazing was that when he wrote, like, there was so much of a sense of poetry and empathy in the people that were in it, whether it was about an individual mm-hmm. or like a game recap. There was so much warmth and heart and love for it. And that Messi mania to me, like, it's Grant's all over that.
Sure, sure.
He taught me how to be a writer. So, whoever buys Messi mania, you can pre-order now.
please pre-order.
Grant Wall is all over. He's a big part of who I am today. Not just before, but now as well.
Sure.
The essence of Grant Wall is in it. I want to switch subjects. Obviously, recipes.
He did
Grant
a terrible Wall. Argentinian accent, by the way.
Oh, I can imagine.
He would literally call me and be like, "How is this for my Argentinian accent?" I was like, "Do you want me to be nice, bro?"
It's an SNL sketch.
It's like if Conan O'Brien went to Buenos Aires and he tried it.
You were like, he does it, and you're like, "All right, we'll do the Argentinian accent."
Are you done?
Yeah. Are you done making fun of me, dude? I want to ask you about Aston Villa. You are a massive Aston Villa fan.
Yeah.
I think the last time we spoke, they had just gotten through the relegation and getting re-promoted. Yeah, bro. Right? You look at everything that's happened. Jack Grealish show, and look at where you are now with Unai Emery, man. Talk about Aston Villa and just the come up that they've had, because they were kind of one of those teams that were kind of languishing and down. Sorry if this reminds you of anything.
It does remind me. You said up and down, but this is down.
No, sorry, man. Just languishing. Absolute love. Yeah. Everton.
Thank you,
man. You got to, look, any kids watching, you got to suffer in order to understand love and success. These new kids, you were talking about Man City before. Yeah. If you're choosing Man City now, Real Madrid, oh, well done. Your diamond shoes don't fit and your 50s are too big for your wallet. You need to support a team and struggle with them, because that's when you will know the true meaning of love. Yeah. I'm telling you right now.
Become Arsenal fans. Yeah.
Well, so thanks for asking. Villa is like my heart. I immigrated to England when I was, 11, 12 years old. It was very difficult for me to assimilate.
You took HGH.
Exactly. I brought my flute with me as well. It was really
No, HGH is just beans and toast.
Yeah. They were like, "Oh, you're Paddington Bear." I was like, "No, bro, stop it."
Yeah.
But Villa was the
You
connection.
Can actually, now that people know that, you can hear the amalgamation of both those accents.
Yeah.
When you speak.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Actually, you just made the Paddington Bear reference, but I didn't know that Paddington Bear is Peruvian, right?
Yeah. And the story is that he's a Peruvian immigrant and like arrives in England.
Right.
And all that stuff. But you go to Peru and they're like, "Yin?"
Paddington?
Even though the second one's being filmed there. But Villa were the connector of everything to me, because it was very difficult for me. And it was obviously at the time when the Premier League just launched. Villa came second in the debut season after Manchester United. So I fell in love with them. And like you said, we've been through some times, man. Like before Unai Emery, you know, years before that in 2017, 18, like they were in the championship. We were like flirting with maybe League One. Yeah. It was some tough, tough times. Dean Smith came, who now manages Charlotte, and he saved us. Then Steven Gerrard, we won't talk about that. And then Unai Emery came in November 2022. And think about this. In less than 3 years, we went from 17th, 16th in the Premier League, flirting with relegation. Unai Emery comes in. He gets a lot of criticism because of what happened at Arsenal. And from that, we are into a bye in the round 16 of the Champions League.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's remarkable.
It is.
It's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people don't talk about it enough because, you know, I
they
get
lost
it.
In the good evening, well, good evening. Yeah. And it's the same nonsense.
And that racist, xenophobic, like bullshit. I know you're going to bleep it, but I hate it so much because it minimizes. He is one of the best managers. I'm not
he's
just saying
because earlier. No, he's proving it.
And by the way, when he was with Arsenal, you know, he had to take over Arsene Wenger, which is like trying to take over an institution.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw how David Moyes did it.
And my friend, he got them to a higher place at the end of that, you know, that first season, higher place than the last season of Arsene Wenger in his first struggles. So, you know, it's not like he's and a final of the Europa League as well. So it's not like so anyway, with Villa, he's done in less than 3 years, we're a Champions League team and still fighting for that right now and to the round of 16.
And just sold a player for $80 million.
Oh, my God.
Bro, this guy is making bang.
Yeah. We had a little bit of debate in our group chat because we were kind of, you know, in different sides of it. Is John Durant basically throwing his career away at this age? He's obviously going to make a lot of money.
He's not throwing his career away. Yonhader Duran, I know him well because I did a very big story on him when he first
pronounce his first name.
Yonhader. Yon. He's Colombian. Yon.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you said, Yonhader?
Yeah, because in Colombian, he's got a Hader, and it's like his, he kind of has, like me, like Luis Miguel, he's Yonhader.
Oh.
So in Colombia, they go, oh, Yonhader. But you can say Yon Durán.
Yeah. I was just like, where's he
my
getting
wife
this?
Sometimes says Luis, not just Luis Miguel. And I'm like, oye, Luis Miguel, if you're mad at me, you say my whole name. So Yonhader.
You're
so,
like that, the same Juan Luis Guerra. I can't. You say the whole name every time.
JJD, it's fine. So he has, you know, two names, but really it's, you know, you can say Yonhader or John, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if I say it, it's Yonhader Durán.
Yeah.
He is a ridiculous talent. Right. And I know his story well, from Envigado to Chicago Fire, arrives to Villa. He's 21 years old. And since he arrived at Villa, he's had a wandering eye. He's just wanted to always think Real Madrid, I can be the biggest thing. And Unai Emery has tried very hard to help him. And he's a ridiculous talent. And he has given Villa already some historic moments, like that winner against Bayern Munich in the Champions League.
Yeah. You were there, right?
My wedding. So
I will have to cut that out. I don't want a public school teacher banging on our door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's more Peruvian than me these days. So like, but anyway, so I personally think it's a mistake because with all due respect, the Saudi Pro League, unless you're talking about Al Nassr and all those, there is still like the competition is not.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's 21 and he's going to make his money. And he worked his ass off from Medellin, his humble beginnings, to pay himself and his family, do your thing. And Villa paid like £18 million from Chicago Fire for this. We're getting nearly €80 million for this.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be in January because I don't like it, but you just, you know, it's going to end up being 90 million with add-ons. Like, all right, you want to, because he doesn't want to be at Villa. So why would you want to stay? And that's what Unai Emery said after the game.
I think it's going to be interesting to see because I think that was the same take I had. He's so young that if he stays over 3 or 4 years, the amount of money he makes changes his family, probably changes the neighborhood he
completely
came in.
Generational wealth,
by far. But then also, he comes back to Europe, still not even in his prime yet.
He's 24.
Yeah. He's still got 2-3 years left before he's in his
prime. Exactly. And that's the
thing.
And
at least he'll play because Unai Emery's not really starting him. He's going to start at Al Nassr.
But he's not patient. And that was the problem with Unai. It's like, Unai was like, be patient. I play with a long striker. And he was doing well. It's just that he got sent off against Newcastle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he's always had a wandering eye. That's why West Ham, he did the X thing in the summer. He thought he was going to go. So to your point, he's going to be 24 in a few seasons. The only worry for me for him is that Néstor Lorenzo, the Colombian manager, he may not see this as a great move.
Yeah, I can see
and
that too. Yeah.
If the World Cup that's coming up, like, you know, he might risk that. But he's with Cristiano Ronaldo, Sadio Mane. Hopefully he'll be able to get minutes, do his thing, and still have a spot in the Colombian national team.
But it's nuts, man. Your team sold
this young, great player to Al Nassr and is going to sell Ollie Watkins to Arsenal.
Bro, listen, crazy what's Arsenal? Can I just say?
Crazy how that's going to work out.
I think we'll have no strikers.
Any right. Arsenal, like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
We're trying to play Celtic getting ready. Suddenly, like, Villa gets a call from Arsenal.
All right. We also had a game, all right? Y'all act like you're the only ones playing that day. I know. Every team was playing.
Yeah, but this is the first time we've done this. You guys do it every year. We're like, we're freaking out. Celtic, hello? What? Yeah. No, we can't get rid of Ollie Watkins.
I'm busy.
Yo, you need a striker. Don't straight start out.
I know. I'm trying to get steal yours.
No, you're not getting any. Not for 60 million.
You know what I say? Boniface almost went to Al Nassr, but then John. But let's go by Boniface.
Calvert-Lewin, bro. He's a good one.
He can't even score there.
He was supposed to go a couple years ago.
50 million?
Yeah, but they should.
But the demand for strikers for a lot of teams is big.
Yeah, it's
massive.
Huge.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the last few days of the
amazing. Luis Miguel Echegaray. Everybody, go pick up Messi Mania. Pre-orders are available now. Wherever books are sold, do your thing. But yeah, March.
What website helps you the most? Is it Amazon?
Nothing, no, man. No matter. You go anywhere. You go to Amazon.com Peru. You go to Amazon.
Is it .com Peru? Yeah. Yeah.
Go to Newark.
Yeah, go to Newark.
Luis, but it's always an absolute pleasure. Not only just you being on the show, but even just hanging out, man. You're just like one of the most, just one of our favorite people.
No, listen,
the soccer world in New York is better off that you're here.
No,
so
I appreciate it, but the sentiment is the same. I always, you know, kind of started like this with a joke at the beginning, but I mean it. 10 years, Cooligans is incredible. And you guys are an absolute inspiration to anybody that wants to pick up a microphone and they don't know how to do it. Because I get emails all the time with young journalists telling me, how can I do this? How can I do that? I mean, you guys just picked up a mic, did your thing, and look, like, it's ridiculous. So you guys are an inspiration, and I appreciate you, sir.
My guy.
Luis, un placer, hermano. Thank
you,
we're not
going to New York for dinner.
Yeah, not in Jersey. We're going to stick in New York.
March 4th, Messi Mania. Go pick it out. Luis, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, man.
Oh, what a great interview that was with Luis Miguel Echegaray.
Shout out to him.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? He brings so much energy. I feel like he sleeps like a bat, you know?
Okay, just upside down from the ceiling.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I just assume people who have a lot of energy sleep upside down. But he is. He's just a wonderful human being and always been very supportive of us.
Exactly.
So glad to see we're all still in the business.
Go
you know?
Get his book.
Oh, you mean this one right here?
Messi Mania.
Messi Mania?
Yeah,
please do that. And get it for your cousins, get it for your friends, get it for your nephews, get it for your nieces, get it for everybody.
Exactly.
Buy 10 of them every time you go on that website. this is a fun segment that we like to call Rapido Reactions.
Yeah, we like to call it because that's what it's called.
We named it. We can do whatever the hell we want. You ready for it, Cardi? You good?
I am ready for it. I think we still have the... No, that's right. That's a rewind. That's not Rapido Reaction.
That is not.
That's not the Rapido Reaction sound, and no. I thought that was what it was, but it is not. All right.
Hit any other button. Maybe that's the sound.
You're right. He's like the LeBron James of soccer.
That's not it. That's not it.
Is that the sound? That'll be the sound now for Rapido Reaction. Okay.
Carter, hit us. What you got?
All right.
For those of you who don't know, we got 90 seconds to respond. Then a little bell goes off. And we got to shut up.
Yes, you do. All right. So the first one here, Neymar is headed back to Brazil. He's going back to Santos. Your thoughts?
He's going back to connect with the Pum Cha Cha.
Yeah, dude.
Bro.
He misses his people. You know what? A lot of people are saying like, oh, national team. He's going back to where he's from. Bro, the Brazilian national team don't want the players in Europe anyway. They're like, yo, we got our own vibe down here.
He's like, yo, I need to go hang out with Memphis Depay. That's why I'm going to Brazil.
You got to get the structure out of him, bro. We need the Joga Bonito back, bro. I want to see vibey Neymar.
It's kind of wild. Al Hilal paid almost 100 million for him.
Yeah.
He plays 6 games.
Yeah.
He plays 6 games.
Do the math. How many hundreds of millions? How many millions is that per game?
Not the best bargain.
No.
Not the best deal.
But he did recover there. You know what I mean? From his injury.
He got to hang out.
Yeah.
Through rehab.
Yeah.
Out in Saudi Arabia. I'm sure he enjoyed that. But no.
Also, they got the money. That's like if you and I lost 10 bucks.
This is just one of those things where I'm like, is Neymar Neymar? Is he going to be Neymar? I want to see it a little bit. He is just one of the greatest players that we've kind of ever seen. One of the few players in this generation that plays the way he plays with that kind of style.
He might be one of the last of a dying breed, really.
And can he be that again? This deal
I believe with Santos is only for 6 months. Mm. So nothing guarantees he's going to be there for a long amount of time. Everybody's, you know, we were talking about Messi. The possibility of him still coming to Inter Miami, still coming to MLS in some way, is still seemingly like it's kind of there.
You know who would be happy about this? Pele, bro.
Pele would love it. Yes, he would. All right. Next up.
All right. Speaking of Saudi Arabia, Steven Gerrard has left Al Ettifaq.
Isn't Al Ettifaq not in Saudi Arabia? It's like in a different country, right?
I don't know where it is, but it's in the Saudi Pro League, right? Is it?
I don't think it's in the Saudi Pro League.
Oh, it isn't.
It might be. Look this up.
Like a Qatari league?
Maybe.
That's okay. We'll confirm.
Yeah.
Saudi League.
It is Saudi League. Yeah. All right. Never mind. Maybe it's just like the one that's in all the way on the other side of the country. There's like one team that's, for some reason, Al Ettifaq is a little separated from everyone else, at least in my brain. And there's nothing else in there.
I have no way to confirm. But
here's,
yeah.
Here's my reaction to Steven Gerrard signing to Al Ettifaq. And here's the same reaction, him leaving. Okay.
There's a little bit, you know, him and Jordan Henderson.
Henderson got the hell out of there.
They took a lot of stick for going over there.
Well, Jordan Henderson in particular.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Bro, you got to respect everybody. How much? And he's like, I mean, you know, I don't want to step on anyone's toes.
But it didn't go well. I mean, the questions, I'm sure Gerrard got paid handsomely to head over there. But this still begs the question, is he a manager? You know, he wants to be a Premier League manager. He's gotten opportunities. He wants to be Liverpool manager. He's made that very well known. But he just hasn't really had a good stretch.
You ain't got the facilities, big man.
And so this, you know, maybe he just got out of a situation early enough where it didn't get worse, but it just clearly was not the move for him. And yes, yeah, and people from Liverpool should just not be out in Saudi Arabian heat. I mean, let's just be...
Nah, man.
They don't... That's not what they...
That's literally the opposite of what y'all built for.
They don't really belong out there. But yeah, I wonder what he ends up next. Is there any scenario...
It's like 180 seconds. Did you forget to hit the bell?
No, oh, no, we haven't hit 90 time? Yet. We're still... Oh, no, wow. We got to talk about Steven Gerrard.
There it is.
Go for it.
All right, the next one here. Lucho Acosta might be headed back to Argentina.
He showed up.
Yeah, back and forth and back and forth, this guy.
He showed up to training preseason with FC Cincinnati, but he is clearly trying to make a move. I think Estudiantes is one of the teams that put in a bid.
Yeah, that's the rumor for a while was River.
Yeah, I don't know where he ends up going. I sort of feel like this would be a really big bummer to have Lucho leave the league. I don't know any specifics on why he would want to leave. I don't know if he's had any
issues. He's done everything he could do in MLS, bro. He's tired of playing here. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to some degree, like, if you want to go back home, you're starting to get a little older, you know, and you want to go back home and, you know, look, I'm sure Cincinnati's a very nice place and he lives a nice life out there, but I think he wants a little bit of that home cooking.
Maybe. I don't know. A loss for the league, a loss for FC Cincinnati.
Plus, he can't get in any of the pickup trucks. You know what I mean? It's too tall.
That's a big concern. American cars are too large.
It's too many F-150s out here, bro.
No, man. I'm not getting to see Lucho Costa.
Look up
weekend
the number
week
one car sold in Ohio. I guarantee you it's an F-150.
How?
I guarantee. I'm willing to put $5 right now. It's an F-150.
There's no. It has to be a sedan.
It is the Ford F-150.
Why is that car so popular in Ohio?
Yes!
They have big cities.
Yes! Let's go!
I can't believe it was specifically that
the Ford F-150. From the logo, dude. I think I broke Carter.
All right.
Never doubt me again.
What's next?
All right, this is a more specific question for you. Matisse Tell looks like he's leaving Bayern Munich. Should he go to one? Which of these clubs should he go to? Manchester United, Tottenham, Aston Villa, or Chelsea?
I think I also heard that Arsenal were in there.
Arsenal are now in the running for this for Matisse Tell.
This is what I love about this this sport where there's no trades, right? Where the player the team has to agree with the player, say, hey, do you want to first? Do you want to play here before I even?
And if you did, is it cool? Would you take this amount of money? Yeah. All right. Now we're gonna talk to your parents. and see if that's okay.
So he is, it's in his, the ball in his, is in his court,
yeah,
of like, what team do I want to go to? Yeah. I mean, we're all on the same social media that everybody else is on. We see how people talk about all these particular clubs, Tottenham, United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Aston Villa.
If we take Arsenal out of it, because the question was Tottenham, United, Chelsea, Aston Villa, out of those four, there's only one answer that feels like it has the best vibes, right? Tottenham, kind of weird right now. No one knows what's happening there. But manager seems to be
definitely playing time.
Yeah, he'll get playing time. Manchester United, not exactly out of the weird realm yet. You know, the vibes are still off. Chelsea, there's, what are you, one of 150,000 players there? So many players. Aston Villa might be that choice.
Villa feels like the stable
champion
choice. League. You know, you slept around in your 20s. Yeah, you went a little crazy.
Hey, you
drank.
Fun. We're not judging.
It's like, we're not here to do that, but you want to go to a stable. You want to meet just a good partner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That
someone you could be with for a long time.
Aston Villa feels like that decision right now. But it also
Tottenham is a little thotty, a little messy at
Tottenham
night.
Is like, can you make a hole into a housewife type of thing?
She's, look, she parties at night. She's normal during the day.
It's not impossible.
But she comes home blackout drunk.
You got to ask these questions when you're picking, you know, who you want to spend some years of your life with. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Your last one here. Speaking of Aston Villa, John Duran has officially left for Al Nassr.
Mm.
Was this the right decision for him?
I mean, we spoke with LME about it.
Yeah.
My position is more that it's the wrong
missionary. Right?
All right. Yeah. That's what I was going to talk about. Okay. My favorite position is the Bible.
Reading.
Okay. You little freaks. It feels like the wrong move. I mean, it's, you know, we were talking about with Luis Miguel, just about his opportunities with Colombia. He could have gone to pretty much any Premier League club he wanted to, or possibly in a couple of years, maybe the really, you know, a Barcelona, Real Madrid, like that. I feel like that is his trajectory. He's gonna get paid. Happy for him.
It feels like he still can though. He's so young. He's 21 years old.
It's just anything can happen. You can get injured over there.
It feels like now's the time. Like the you know, people who get married early, they're like, hey, if I get divorced, I still got time, right? That's kind of how this feels.
I don't love it. And I
it's not the most preferred move, but I'm fine with the move because he's gonna get paid. He's gonna be able to change that neighborhood of Medellin where he's from. He's gonna be able to pay for a lot of stuff for his family.
Development.
Hey, he's gonna play. He started 7 matches, and they sold him for $77 million.
I mean, like, again, I'm not knocking his decision. Just he's just such an electric player.
Yo, Chicago Fire made $8.7 million extra.
Yeah,
so that makes the total move.
And because of the add-ons, they get something like 18% of those add-ons.
That is. So this is it. Yo, the whole move total as of right now is $30.7 million. Is what they sold him for.
Lovely.
Crazy.
Good business.
Yo.
All right. Chicago
Greg
Fire.
Greg Berhalter's like, give me that money machine.
Can't get Shakiri back with
Damn.
That money. That's what they need. All right.
I thought you said Shakira. Rick with Shakira.
Happy the reactions, Carter. Thank you so much. Always appreciate it.
Ford F-150, y'all.
Ford F-150 gang.
That came out of nowhere, dog.
Okay.
I'm still shocked.
Shout out.
When you said it into the mic, I was like, Chris was like, there's no way.
It has to be a sensible vehicle. You know how Ohioans are.
No. What's more sensible than a beautiful Ford F-150?
Okay.
A car I never want to drive.
Everybody, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. Shout out to Luis Miguel Echegaray again. Go pick up his book, Messy Mania. Pre-orders are available now. He also brought us some Pisco as well.
Are you a Pisco fan?
I mean, I've had it, but I'm not a fan. I'll just like, if I'm hanging around Peruvians, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
It's like with Colombians and Aguardiente.
Aguardiente. Like, you're not allowed to say no.
What are you going
to
say? No, you're being ridiculous.
You're not allowed to say no.
So shout out to him. And
is the Dominican version? Is it just the Presidente?
No.
Brugal?
Brugal would probably be the you know, the national beverage, I guess.
For Cubans, it's water. We got no tap water, bro.
Water.
We ain't got no money. No, it'd probably be from back in the day, it'd be Bacardi, or as you guys know, Bacardi.
Okay. Bacardi B. All right.
So she got the name.
So everybody, make sure you follow us everywhere on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. Follow us on Blue Sky. We're having a good time on there with normal human beings that aren't psychopaths.
Not every like reply that. Is like, you know, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, you hungry to eat this? And you're like, Jesus Christ, my wife is so next to me. You know? Okay, I swear I was just talking about
I
food.
I just opened the app, bro. Slow it down.
Gets. Y'all need to calm the F down over there on X, bro.
So about
to make me an X. That's what the name comes from.
At soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky. So make sure you follow us there. Subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. And we'll be back on Monday. We have another poll that should be... I didn't put it up yet, but I will put it up while the time you're listening to this. Last episode, we had Kevin Sullivan on the
great
pod.
Interview.
The MLS Media Day interview. So we have another poll on our YouTube channel. Go youtube.com/soccercooligan. Vote on who do you want to see next. The options, I believe, are the remaining. Fafa Pico, Keaton Parks.
Pat Noonan.
Matt Miazga and Emil Forsberg.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, look, good names. A good selection. Who do you want to see?
Couple F-150 drivers out there. I promise you that.
They see me rolling in my very large vehicle.
Bruh.
So go.
Just like, well, we don't do sedans anymore.
Just a little lower to the
little side for me down here.
Lower to the earth. All right. So go vote on that. And as always, be on the lookout because we have our Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. We have, I started going through all the footage from the show, from the ISC show. It is just banger, bro.
I actually stole one of the jokes from Morning Footy. Can I tell you about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you did tell me. So we did a roast show at ISC and we filmed it and that'll be out soon. So patreon.com/soccercooligans if you want to see that first.
Yeah.
So it's already looking great. It's a really, really fun show. All right. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Seriously, y'all the best. Shout out again to LME. But we'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.